You are listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church, located in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners, volunteers, and members of our community. To donate, go to our website, www.westhill.net, and click on the Canada Helps button, or go to westhill.net/donate.
Gentlemen. Could you sit down, please? Am I on? Yes, I'm on. Welcome on this lovely day when it's not snowing. That can be one of the first things we celebrate. We wish to acknowledge that we are on the traditional territory of the Mississaugas of the New Credit First Nations lands, which lands were previously occupied by the Seneca and Huron-Wendat First Nations. This is a special service today. In Mexico and other regions of Latin America, as you know, November the 1st is All Saints Day, when the family of the deceased celebrate the lives of their loved ones with food, drink, music, and large, colorful parades. We're a little more restrained here, but I think it's a great idea. The dead are really with them on this one day of the year. We want to cherish the memories of those people who have so deeply influenced our lives.
We take this time every Sunday, and hopefully take this time any day of the week, because there's nothing about it that requires us to be in a building or together. But together, we remind ourselves that we are firmly placed with eyes wide open in this interconnected life with all its beauty and all its terror and everything good that happens and everything bad that happens. And we realize that we have an impact on all of it, and all of it has an impact on us. And when it, life, the weather, other people impact us, we have an impact in the way we respond. And we take that very seriously as the core of what life is about. And we come together to remind ourselves to live that impact as lovingly, as justly, as kindly, and with as much integrity as we possibly can, which is totally impossible. So we also come together to remind ourselves how human we are and how much it's important to us to strive and attempt to live that as beautifully as possible with each other. You help me when you share your wisdom. I hope I help you when I share mine, and together we grow.
The day after Halloween has often been recognized as that day when we recognize and lift up those individuals we refer to as saints. And that's had a very technical definition down through the past, but we who recognize that all lives have elements of sainthood in them, because they have touched and changed and offered light and opportunity and possibility and love into lives around them or into the world, they are for us saints. And so each first Sunday of November, we come here to celebrate the lives of those who have touched and guided us in our lifetimes, and who, because of the love that we have shared with them, continue to do so now, even when we are wandering around without them in our brains, without thinking about them. Who they were to us continues to operate within us. When I used the word God, I spoke often only of that which we can create between us, the relationship that we can build, that in any situation can be one of some kind of operational requirement. So I can use you for what it is I need in my life, or you could use me for what it is that you need. In a me-first society, often that's how our relationships are built. But those who love us build between us and help us to build those relationships of power and joy and security and confidence that live No matter where we are in proximity to them or whether they have died, they live on, creating a power that we can draw upon no matter where we are and what it is we're doing in our lives. When we are afraid, we can draw courage. When we are lost, we can draw guidance. When we are weak, we can draw strength. And so we work to build those relationships, that thing I once called God, a power for good and for beauty and for truth in the world that gives us the confidence to live boldly and to live as light. And so this day, we will read the names of many who have been in our lives as guides and strength and beauty and love. And we will read them as saints, those who have worked their way into our own strength, into our own courage, our own confidence, who have made us who we are and allowed us to live with the security that we have today. That doesn't mean they were perfect. It doesn't mean they never made mistakes. It doesn't mean sometimes we didn't wonder if they really loved us. But it means that in our lives going forward, we can draw from those good things that they offered us that help to heal what happens to us in our everyday, in those ongoing relationships that sometimes are more challenge than joy, and in the work that we do in this world and working to make it a better place. I'm bringing you a reading that is a merging of the work of two people, Philip Pullman, the author of His Dark Materials, a trilogy focused on Lyra and two worlds between which they can travel, and Juanita DeLong, whose poetry will conclude the reading. Even if death means oblivion, friends, we can welcome it, because it won't be nothing. We'll be alive again in 1,000 blades of grass and 1,000,000 leaves. We'll be falling in the raindrops and blowing in the fresh breeze. We'll be glittering in the dew under the stars and the moon out there in the physical world, which is our true home and always was. I see you, shining from the eyes of little children. I watch you in the swaying boughs of bud-thrilled trees, and feel your caress in the passionate sweep of storm-filled winds. Your strength presses me on in my upward tread of everlasting hills. You cool my tired body in the flow of the limpid river, and warm my work-worn hands through the glow of the winter fire. You soothe me into forgetfulness with the drop, drop of rain on the roof. And out of the rhymes of the masters, you speak to me again. I dance in your arms in the lilt of the violin, and my heart leaps with the unfolding beauty of a piano's song. You flood my soul with the flaming radiance of the sunrise, and bring me peace in the rose and gold of the after sunset. All these things made you happy, and you are now become a part of them, and they a part of me.
In Fahrenheit 451, Ray Bradbury wrote, "And when he died, I suddenly realized I wasn't crying for him at all, but for the things he did. I cried because he would never do them again. He would never carve another piece of wood, or help us raise doves and pigeons in the backyard, or play the violin the way he did, or tell jokes the way he did. He was part of us when he died. All the actions stopped dead, and there was no one to do them the way he did. He was individual. He was an important man. I've never gotten over his death. Often I think what wonderful carvings never came to birth because he died. How many jokes are missing from the world? How many homing pigeons untouched by his hands? He shaped the world. he did things to the world. The world was bankrupted of 10 million fine actions the night he passed on.
This year we've broken the readings into three categories: the ever after cost of death, the ever after cost of love, and the ever after cost of life. And these are the three movements that I experience when I spend time with families who are coping with death, with bereavement. A recognition that there is this eternal ending, this complete stop, where all of what an individual has been has come to an end, where we're robbed of those things, as in Bradbury's reading, might have gone on and continued long on into days, into the future. Weeks, months, years, we would have had them continue forever. But death brings a stop to that. There's this halt which is so breaking, that is so violent, so tragic. No matter how long and drawn out the death might be, no matter how prepared we've been for it, no matter how, you know, we've gone through the grief process already and so now it's come to an end, there are still things that we miss, that we have lost, that will not come back. I know some families who have kept the voice of a loved one on the recording on their telephone for years afterward, simply so they could dial home and listen to that voice. And a woman in the congregation whose husband died one day phoned me and said, "I can't smell him anymore. His scent was here and it's gone today." There's those losses that we experience that seem so tragic. And there is an everlastingness to death that is so real. Scott spoke just this morning about climbing on his dad and the jokes that they would play on him. Scott has some ridiculous music stuff that he used to do that he sometimes does to me. I think as a way of bringing his dad back, he'll start playing something on the piano and he'll go over it like 40 times to see if I'll even notice, right? And then he'll go, "Are you not listening?" He used to practice things for his dad over and over and over again, proving to his dad he could practice. But two bars? Death brings a finality that carves itself into our hearts. That touch, that smile, that creativity, that encouragement, even that word spoken in anger that reminded us of who we might be or where we might go, all that ends with death. And we find ourselves in that moment and a million moments beyond, ever tragically alone.
The, the ever after cost of love. The answer to the mysteries of existence is the love you shared sometimes so imperfectly. And when the loss wakes you to the deeper beauty of it, to the sanctity of it, you can't get off your knees for a long time. You're driven to your knees, not by the weight of the loss, but by gratitude for what preceded the loss. And the ache is always there, but one day not in the emptiness, because to nurture the emptiness, to take solace in it, is to disrespect the gift of life. Dean Koontz.
It seems so obvious that after that grief, there comes the opportunity to step back and see the entire picture, the joy, the love, the times of humor, the breakthrough of a smile when you were trying to be serious, the opportunity for encouragement that you remember. It's not just all stopped because it starts living again in your mind, in your heart. Not that the stab of loss doesn't come back over and over again, but as some have said, you learn to journey with grief alongside you. And alongside you, there's that companionship and that relationship that develops. And within that relationship can grow a respect and a memory for what has gone before that is of beauty, that has offered you joy and life and encouragement and strength and guided you through life in a way that you may not have been guided before. Even a casual acquaintance has placed something upon your heart at some point in time, a smile, an opportunity for you to smile if they're sad. So as we learn to journey with those great griefs in our lives, I believe we build that love relationship again, finding in what has been that beauty that overshadows everything else, that gift that was there during life that is perhaps different, but just as strong in death, that reminder of all that is good. Beyond, as Kuntz says, we have to pull ourselves, out of our grief, and back into the beauty of the relationship. Because if we live just in the grief, we focus exclusively on our own sorrow and our own pain, and we don't offer what that person was to the world again. And that's our role, to carry that love within us and offer it to the world again, to magnify what we are by what it is we have had and offer that again. It's the ever-after gift of love, the love that we have known, the love that has been ours, the love that was between us in life and that is between us in death. It calls much from us, but mostly it calls relationship. It calls that those relationships be lived through the new relationship we have with life and with death.
The ever-after cost of love. In The Painted Drum, Louise Erdrich wrote, "Life will break you. Nobody can protect you from that. And living alone won't either. For solitude will also break you with its yearning. You have to love. You have to feel. It's the reason you're here on earth. You're here to risk your heart. You are here to be swallowed up. And when it happens that you are broken or betrayed or left or hurt or death brushes near, let yourself sit by an apple tree and listen to the apples falling around you in heaps, wasting their sweetness. Tell yourself you tasted as many as you could."
I don't think it was the apples that had me choose this reading. It was that you are here to be swallowed up. I loved that image, that here in life we're here to be swallowed up, to give ourselves away to those people in our lives with whom we have relationships, to give ourselves away to the work that we see is ours to do in the world, to find, you know, we talk about people who have found a place of need in the world and they've taken it as an opportunity to offer themselves into it, to pour themselves into that space, to be swallowed up by that need, giving of their whole lives to the work that must be done. In death, we often mourn the loss of someone who has gone. We count their presence with us as a gift going forward. And if we wish to be recognized as those who have given a gift, we offer ourselves into other people. We let them swallow us up in life, not to devour us and completely annihilate who we are so that we can become just nurturing to them, but because we can add to life by adding to those people that we meet in life, by being beauty and goodness and truth, by offering ourselves fully and completely. The story upon which rests our entire faith tradition is a story of being swallowed up by life, of pouring oneself out for the consumption of others, of creating in the world that which could make a difference to other people, and pouring every single breath into that work. When I sit in my moments of mindfulness each day and I pay attention to the breath going in and the breath going out, I'm reminded to count each breath as an opportunity for me to be a gift to life, a gift to those with whom I'm in relationship with, a gift to those who I may never meet, a gift that is counted by the breath I have given and by my willingness to be swallowed up by life.
This poem is from Kathleen McTeague, an actor. In the struggles we choose for ourselves, in the ways we move towards in our lives and bring our world forward with us, it is right to remember the names of those who gave us strength in this choice of living. It is right to name the power of hard lives. Well, I'm sorry, that song always makes me teary. Well lived. We share a history with those lives. We belong to the same ocean. They too were strengthened by what had gone before. They too were drawn on by the vision of what might come to be. Those who lived before us, who struggled for justice and suffered injustices before us, have not melted into the dust and have not disappeared. They are with us still. The lives they lived hold us steady. Their words remind us and call back to ourselves. Their courage and love evoke our own. We, the living, carry them with us. We are their voices, their hands, and their hearts. We take them with us and with them choose the deeper path of living. Let us name those who lend strength to our lives.
Let's go sit down.
That's a good height for you, I think it is, eh? Just lay it down and do it there.
Alan Ansell. Harry Baker. Eleanor Baker. Gregory Baum. Vaughn Becker.
Elizabeth Beer, Mary Bennett, Harold Bennett, Janice Bennett Pritting, Bob Berkovich,
Fred Blakey, Bill Blythe, Arthur Boone, Nuala Boone, Don Bowes,
Sam Brown, David Brown, Harold Calloway, Jim Clark, Dorothy Clark, Raymond Chalette,
Don Clark, Florence Colby, Harvey Colby, Laura Colby, Carolyn Cook,
Terry Cootie, Ann Crane, Harold Crane, Dorothy Crawford,
Wayne Crosley, William Crosley, Hazel Crosley, Robert Cruikshank,
Carolyn Cullins, Hazel Davis, Adelaide Daw, Bill Daw, Wayne Denard, Marilyn Dickinson,
Maureen DePetty, Vince DePetty, Hudson DePetty, Anne Drover, Joy Duffield,
Annie Evans, Daphne Evans, Nelson Evans, William Fairburn, Bridget and Leo Farrell, Eleanor Galster,
Rose Gavin, Christine Gleiser, Doreen Goodman, Anne Graham,
Ruth Greaves, Bertram Greaves, Kathy Greaves, Karen Gregory, Jim Hamill, Rob Harvey,
Arthur Henderson, Jim Hockley, Bill Hockley,
Andrea Humphrey, James Highland, Lorraine Highland Weldon,
John Irwin, Beth Irwin, Claire Irwin, Wayne Jackson, June James,
Jim Jennings, Art Johns, Linda Johnson, John Johnston, Bernice Johnston, Margaret Kearns,
Ricarda Kite, Yvonne Kilroy, Maria Koop, Vito Lisho, Deborah Lloyd,
Robert Lockhart, Audrey Lodge Blakey, Joan Lodge Stirrett, Ron Lott, Kay Lysette,
Ruby Medill, Herbert Medill, Tessa McCallum, Marion Mayer, Isabel MacArthur.
Derek McCormick, Dorothy McCormick, Harry McCormick, George Miller, Lynn Miller, Garrett Miller,
Beth Ann Morden, Audrey Morgan, John Morgan, Harry Monroe, Mary Monroe,
Shay Murray, Tim Murray, Bob Merle, Doreen Merle, Michael Newton,
Paul O'Brien, Lloyd Oliver, Kay Patterson, Bob Poutee, Lillian Ramsbottom, Mormond Reese, Lee Reese,
Marion Reed, Fred Rideout, Eileen Robb, Frank Robb, Myrtle Robinson, Claire Rosettes, Claire Roche,
Robina Russell, Arthur Russell, Susan Ryan, Bill Ryan, Chris Ryan, Alexander Ryan,
Eugene Ryder, Gordon Ryder, Pat Saar, Bob Scholdice, Marg Scholdice, Adrian Sim,
Sean Spence, Bernice Nodofsky, Lily Sims, Charlene Simpson, Ross Sims, Les Spurrier, Alan Stocks, Burl Simon,
Jack Sues, Joan Sues, Melissa Surge, Amy Taylor,
Joyce Thomas, Eric Thomas, Ann Thomas, Reverend Bob Thompson,
Velma Vosper, George Vosper, Elaine Wagger, Helen Walsh, Moira Whiteford,
Cora Whittle, Norm Williams, Donna Wilson, Elizabeth Wilt, Frederick Wilt,
Mr. and Mrs. Allen Wood. Mr. and Mrs. W. Wood. Jean Wright. Jerry Wright.
When I think back on these times and the dreams we left behind, I'll be glad cause I was blessed to get to have you in my life. When I look back on these days, I'll look and see your face. You were right there for me. And in my dreams, I'll always see you so. place for you for all my life. I'll keep a part of you with me, and everywhere I am, there you'll be. And everywhere I am, there you'll be. Well, you showed me how it feels to feel the sky within my reach, and I always will remember all the strength you gave to me. Your love made me make it through. I owe so much to you. You were right there for me. And in my dreams I'll always see you soar above the sky. And in my heart there'll always be a place for you for all my life. I'll keep a part of you with me, and everywhere I am, there you'll be. 'Cause I always call you my light, my strength. And I wanna thank you now for all the ways you were right there for me. You were right there for me.
Find our way into everyone's hearts and change the world. Go in peace.
Listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church located in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners, volunteers, and members of our community. To donate, go to our website, www.westhill.net, and click on the Canada Helps button, or go to www.westhill.net/donate.